Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Curry on WVON AM 1690.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner VHPI, Veteran Healthcare Policy Institute. Today is Saturday, January 16th, 2021, and January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. Make sure you get vaccinated appropriately. The only vaccine that can prevent cancer is that vaccine. Also, we have our host, Cliff Kelly, who is the governor of Talk Radio. I'm his co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith and Inda House. And also we have our digital media producer, Manny Carazari. Today we have some panelists that are going to talk about this whole issue surrounding veterans' mental health care. It seems like this is a very, very appropriate time to be talking about it, as it is every day during the year. But we have Suzanne Gordon, VHPI Senior Policy Analyst, and her work expands over decades, reporting on healthcare programs, workers' policy, and have authored or edited 21 books. Suzanne has written two books, The Battle for Veterans Healthcare and Wounds of War. And we also have, as her special guest, Jasper Craven, VHPI Interim Executive Director. He also is running an incredible agency and is here to talk about this very, very important topic. Hi, Suzanne and Jasper. Okay, Jasper.
Oh, sorry, we couldn't hear you there for a second.
Oh, yes.
Great to be here. Yeah, we at VHPI will soon be releasing a new report that Suzanne Gordon on this call has co-authored, along with a number of really preeminent experts in the field of veteran mental health care. And we invite your readers to view this once it's out. It'll be on veteranspolicy.org in about a week or so. We also have a Zoom forum coming up on February 3rd. Mm-hmm. But essentially what the paper tries to lay out is a lot of the pioneering work that the VA has done over the years in providing integrated health care to veterans that really prioritizes and values mental health care. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of legislative action under Trump to privatize veterans' health care. And just a few months ago, there was a law he signed that for the first time really took the specific step of outsourcing veterans' mental health care, which is quite alarming for a number of reasons, but, you know, most fundamentally because many private sector practices just have very little competency in dealing with veterans' health care, mental health care needs.
Oh, I can imagine that. And Suzanne, why don't you give us a little bit of an intro too about why you think this is so important? Because I know the privatization of these services could lead into exactly what Jasper is talking about, going into unfamiliar territory for people who are providers. I've already seen that firsthand, where providers don't have the same kind of understanding as a VA system would of the particular issues or circumstances surrounding a veteran's care.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that we're really concerned about and that we highlight in this paper is that so much. Everybody is saying that they prioritize improving mental health care for veterans. The president, the soon-to-be former president, the various people on the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and yet they keep producing bill after bill that either privatizes or basically kind of cancels the bill that came before. So there's this tendency in policymaking around mental health care to pass a bill and then forget about it and forget about implementing it correctly and then pass another bill and then pass another bill. And these it really creates an incredible amount of confusion, layers of bureaucracy, layers of inefficiency, layers of lack of coordination. I mean, we have the Clay Hunt Suicide Act. We have the Mission Act. Now we have the Scott Hannon Act. I mean, we have, you know, a Healthy Start. There's all kinds of initiatives that have been passed. And Congress spends a lot of energy, and veteran service organizations spend a lot of energy lobbying for these bills, but nobody makes sure that the bills are carefully constructed and that they don't, and that they're implemented, you know, in an effective way. I mean, it's kind of like you build a house, right? And then, and you spend a lot of money designing it and making sure it's well constructed, and then you never bother to put any furniture in it or make sure that anybody's living in it, and then you say, oh, let's build a house next door. And huge amounts of money and energy go into this process. I mean, and the other thing is that there's no attention to whether there is enough staff in the VA to adequately provide the services that are mandated, or staff in the private sector, or coordination between the staff and the VA and the private sector. So you see real disasters. I mean, in Memphis, a veteran committed died by suicide because of failures of coordination between the VA and the private sector, and some private sector nurse practitioner who I suspect didn't have enough experience treating veterans changed a whole bunch of things that the VA was doing, and eventually the veteran killed themselves. And I think you're going to see more of that because of the proliferation of services, of legislation, and the legislation isn't well thought out. It doesn't build on other legislation. It doesn't make sure people are trained in the private sector to take care of veterans. But they keep pumping it out, and then they, you know, get to claim how veteran-friendly they are.
Yeah, that's really important information. You know, because when you were talking, I was thinking about how many, you know, the shell bills that go through, but then also the unfunded mandates where it's only a bill in name, where you don't really put any teeth into it or put the resources that are required to make sure it works and that it's actually effective. And so, you know, Jasper was, you were mentioning earlier that there was a problem with the prioritization and going into these going into private sectors. And, you know, it's actually supported by what Suzanne just said about, you know, this one particular veteran who committed suicide. So right now with the COVID-19, you know, it's important to focus on this every day, even pre-COVID-19. But now particularly there is even more of a, you know, of an angst or another, you know, with this whole disease and how it's affecting us. And how have you been seeing this play out as far as the need in the veteran population for services in the VA system?
Yeah, well, there clearly is a massive need. I mean, this pandemic has wrought a deep economic toll on people, which often then leads to the exacerbation of mental illness. And so we've seen a lot of desperation in the veteran community. And the VA has, you know, struggled because, you know, its main challenge is to, its main mission is to bring economic stability and health to its people. Luckily, the VA is a world leader in what's called telemedicine, which basically allows doctors to see patients virtually. And so because of that, almost as soon as the COVID-19 virus came to American shores, the VA really sort of leaned back and started relying more and more on telemedicine. So many veterans have been able to see their continuum of care uninterrupted during this unprecedented time, whereas in the private sector, many civilians have really been unable to not only continue with regularly scheduled mental health appointments, but also haven't been able to go in and see their doctors for routine checkups or to, you know, get assessments on other physical problems. So the VA has really done a pretty fantastic job on the whole in this unprecedented time in continuing to take care of veterans. I mean, certainly there's challenges that the department has. Many of those stem from the fact that the department is not fully funded, and there are many open positions for psychiatrists and psychologists that have not been filled. We at VHPI really think that, that, you know, moving forward, that's a massive priority because, as you said, the fallout mentally from this pandemic is going to be huge.
And I think it's also important to mention that when it comes to the way, and I think we've talked about this before, the way they're dealing with the pandemic, the VA is so much better than in the private sector, and we're seeing this now with the COVID vaccines. I mean, I got an email from a friend of mine who's a Vietnam veteran who basically just sort of got a phone call from the VA about coming in and getting vaccinated. He strolled in. It took him a half an hour. Everything was fine. I'm 75, and I'm apparently in a, you know, priority group to get the vaccination. I can't find, I have, you know, two different private sector providers that I can't basically find out any information about this for. So while my friend, the veteran, went to the VA, got his shot, and is fine. I can't even get an email back from anybody about how to go about it. And, you know, we're seeing that, I got a call from somebody who told me that at UCLA, they have extra vaccine. They discovered they have extra vaccine. They don't want it to go to waste. So they basically call some fancy doctor and say, hey, you know, call your friends and your family members and come in and get the vaccine and, you know, jump the queue. They can jump the queue while they haven't given it to any UCLA patients. And in the VA, that's just not happening. I mean, nobody can jump the queue. It's being rolled out first for frontline staff and then for veterans, and veteran patients are getting their COVID vaccine. It's just astonishing, but not astonishing, because you have a broken private sector healthcare system, and certainly you don't want people going into that broken system at any time, but certainly when it's even more broken. And we're really concerned that policymakers aren't carefully considering mental health and suicide prevention policy because they want their name on a bill, they want, you know, their legacy burnished up, they want whatever. And so we have a whole series of recommendations and a whole analysis to try to convince people to try to do a better job as opposed to just pumping out more and more unfunded mandates, poorly constructed legislation that has no oversight, and you never find out whether it's being implemented or not.
You know, to even, you know, support what you're saying about the private sector, you know, even the private sector now is calling on the National Guard and military to assist with vaccinations, right?
Yeah.
With the general population. And one of the things that you were mentioning before, yourself and Jasper, you know, one of the things that I feel, because I go to the VA system, and I feel, you know, a sense of being or belonging with the other veterans. And I love being around other veterans because we have a common shared experience. It's almost like a family to us. And going to another outside private sector section. I had to have a little bit of physical therapy before, but it felt like just another person in the line. And they didn't really had no special recognition for veterans. And also, what I'm worried about is that there are many providers out there that turn down Medicare, Medicaid, and they don't accept that. So if I'm a veteran and I go to a provider and I'm relying on that system outside to take care of me, you know, am I really being taken care of as a veteran? You know, that guarantee that the government gave about taking care of the veterans, the widows and orphans, right? So I feel like we need to really keep this out of the private sector.
And I think veterans, really need, if veterans fought for their country, they also need to continue fighting for their country and fighting for the rest of us to get the kind of care that you are lucky enough to get at the VA. I mean, when Lincoln talked about the widow and orphan and the he who has borne the battle, it was part of a second inaugural address that did not conceptualize veterans as apart from, but rather being part of the healing process that was necessary after the Civil War. And Lincoln would have been horrified to hear veterans say that they thought that their system was special and only for them, and that, you know, they were the only people deserving of a national health system, which is essentially what the VA is. And I think that, you know, if we need to fight for a healthcare system that delivers the same kind of quality of care to the rest of us as veterans get. I mean, sadly, not enough veterans who've experienced the joys of the private sector understand the uniqueness of the VA and what they get there. But all of us should be able to, to get that same quality of care. I mean, we now see that, you know, the nation's heroes, veterans are not the only heroes. The nurses, the doctors, the janitors, the dietitians in hospitals, the grocery clerks who are risking their lives every day. I mean, we need a better system for all of us, and the VA should be a model of that. And I think veterans should be fighting for the universalization of their programs, not, you know, living in a little gated community where it's a social welfare system for veterans only.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very, very interesting perspective on that. You know, is there a website that people can go to and, you know, a call-in number for VHPI, you know, Veterans Healthcare Policy Institute, so they can find out more information and stay in touch? Because I know you deal with policy, it's in the name, and, you know, these bills and finding out more about why it's important to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks can visit us at www.veteranspolicy.org. Okay. There you'll find a lot of our analyses, our investigative reporting, information on who we are, and ways to contact us. We're currently remaking our website, so it'll be pretty flashy and easy navigatable soon. But that has all the bare facts. So all your listeners should go there and check us out.
And we're having a Zoom launch of this mental health white paper on the February 3rd, I believe it is, at 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 Central and 2 Eastern time. And folks can see an announcement on our website about this Zoom release of this, what we think is a really important paper.
Okay, so it's on www.veteranspolicy.org, and then they can see the Zoom meeting for February 3rd at probably 11 a.m. On for the Zoom meeting.
Well, yeah, different sounds, times, you know, 11, 1, and 3.
1 and 3.
11, 1, okay. And 2, yeah.
Okay.
All the people who wrote the paper will be on that call, so it'll be fun, I think, discussion about mental health and suicide prevention.
Okay, thank you very much. That was the last comment. Thank you very much. We are really happy to be with our
great. Thank you
our
so
roundtable
much.
Partner,
take
VHPI,
care.
Veterans Healthcare Policy
thank you.
Institute. Okay, and stay
Bye.
With us. We're moving on to the next section, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are Making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me. Hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
And you, what do you think this place needs?
This place? More ice cream trucks.
Okay. How about you?
Wi-Fi everywhere?
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
Oh, that's way better.
Now that you mention it.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Reading.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are five product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the one in five kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.